Welcome to Long Live Childhood, a pediatric health and wellness podcast presented by Rady Children's Health. I'm Maggie McKay, and here to help us understand UV safety and awareness is Dr. Maria Youth, Division Chief of Dermatology at Rady Children's Health, Orange County. Thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Youth.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So a lot of parents associate UV exposure with hot, sunny days. How can families better understand UV risk on cloudy days, cooler days, or during different seasons?
Yes, that's a great question. So unfortunately, temperature itself is not a proxy for UV exposure. We have UV exposures even across mild days, and that's actually been associated with sometimes, you know, like families and all of us, honestly, we think that if the sun is not out there, maybe the need of applying sunscreen or generally speaking, some protection habits may not be as relevant. But unfortunately, what we know is that the sun and UV exposure, that really goes through clouds. So a cloudy sky, you can still get sun exposure, as well as altitude. So for example, even if you are experiencing a nice cooler day in the mountains, that's actually a prime scenario for UV exposure. So yes, the main take-home message is that clouds, unfortunately, do not eliminate UV exposure, and we should really be trying to attempt some protection and sunscreen across different temperatures.
Like every single day, right?
Yes, every single day.
What are some of the environments where children receive significant UV exposure without parents even realizing it?
Well, we can think about at school, especially during recess, and really between like 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., where recess most often happens. Those are some of the times in the days with the highest peak in UV exposure. Another place is definitely like water parks and just like pools. UV light, it goes through the water up to, would say, like 1 meter in depth. So a child that is swimming may still not be protected from the sun. Also, we should remember that swimming can more quickly wash out the sunscreen. And so that protection that maybe we have just applied, that may not be there after like a few minutes after swimming. So those are all factors that they're very important. And as we said before, high altitude. So the snow, going like skiing, that is also an environment with a high rate of UV exposure.
Are there certain ages or developmental stages when UV protection is especially important and why?
Yes. So let's start from birth. So in the first, especially in the first 6 months of life, the skin barrier is not as mature yet. That means there is a particular delicate time in a child's life. On top of that, we also, at least up to now, we do not have sunscreen that are approved before 6 months of age. And so for the CDC, for example, the recommendation is to really don't expose that young child before 6 months of age to direct sunlight in the first place. But I would say that for the infant, so that first year and toddler, that skin barrier and ability to fight UV exposure is still immature. So it really keeps developing in the first 2 months of life. And so I would really be cautious, or at least be even more mindful about practicing sun protection.
With many children participating in outdoor sports, camps, and recreational activities, what practical strategies can help ensure constant UV protection throughout the day? Like they go to the beach with their friends and you're not there.
Absolutely. So something that we always recommend is not just thinking about sunscreen when we think about sun protection, but also think about sun protective clothing. With sunscreen, they should really be reapplied every 2 hours. And most of the time, that is not really realistic and feasible that every 2 hours application. So also adding some protective clothing that can allow that stable and more continuous protection that may not be as easily pursued with just the sunscreen. And there are several brands that develop from regular clothing to rash guard, which is suitable for daily life and also for at the pool.
What are your thoughts on the type of sunscreen? Like, you know, there's spray, which is so convenient, but I always think like, is that as effective as putting lotion on? Because it seems like half of it would be going into the air. I mean, what do you think?
Yes. When we think about sunscreen, the main categories that we characterize is like chemical sunscreen and mineral sunscreen. And that really, like even beside formulation, we have chemical sunscreen that have to be applied at least 15 minutes before sun exposure. And they are the one that have a level of penetration into the skin. While the mineral sunscreen, they just sit on top of the skin and they reflect the light. Now, with sunscreen, it also comes different types of formulation. Of course, the spray maybe is definitely easy. And what we like about those is that, especially if you are by yourself, it allows application to, for example, like the mid-back, which are areas that we cannot easily reach. So I would say that that is definitely better than not applying sunscreen at all. But to your point, yes, it does have the caveat that like you may not achieve as much sun protection as you think you are.
Is there anything else in closing that you'd like to add that you'd like to leave people with to think about?
Well, yes. One thing that we haven't mentioned is that UV exposures can also be indoor. So unfortunately, we have UV exposure through glasses, especially UVA, which is that that type of UV light that it's also that is more connected with like a chronic skin damage and eventually also like skin aging. Regarding the glasses and the side windows in the cars, many models now offer sun protection against UVB, but again, it's that UV light that is UVA that is really challenging to eliminate. So also remember that you do want to practice sun protection throughout the day and throughout different environments, indoor and outdoor.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise. This has been so useful and helpful and a lot of good information to remember, especially for summertime, but year round, like we said. So thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Again, that's Dr. Maria Buth. To find out more, please visit chalk.org/dermatology. Thank you for tuning in to Long Live Childhood, a pediatric health and wellness podcast brought to you by Rady Children's Health. For more insightful conversations about kids' health and well-being, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Together, we can help keep kids happy, healthy, and thriving. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing Long Live Childhood on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Pandora. Your support truly means a lot. I'm Maggie McKay, and thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time.